and all the saints of God shall gather home. We will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Come on, let's sing it again. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall gather home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests all succeed a bright sunshine in a land of perfect day. When the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall gather home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall gather home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall gather home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. Amen. Play that one more time. Come on, put your hands on. We will tell the story, hallelujah, and we'll understand it better by and by. Come on, let's sing it again. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall gather home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. Hey, oh, oh, by and by, when all the saints shall gather. Gonna tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand, and we'll understand it better, and we'll understand it better by and by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. God is a God who reveals himself to his people. Amen. There's so much more we want to know about him. There's so much more to know about him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Psalms 119. And we'll start at verse 33 and read down to verse 40. Praise the Lord. The psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Praise the Lord. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, you are Lord and you are God, Lord, and we delight in your word, Lord. We have gathered into this place, Lord, to hear from heaven this morning. And Father, as we turn our hearts, Lord, to worshiping you and to praising you, O God, we ask, O God, that you would come down this morning, Lord, and speak to each and every heart here, Lord. Minister to the needs of your children, Father. We desire to grow in you and to know you and to walk more closer to you, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you anoint each and every vessel here in a special way. Anoint our pastor, anoint this congregation of your children. Father, just have complete preeminence amongst us, Lord. We thank you for your traveling mercies. We ask that you be with our brothers and sisters who have yet to arrive, Lord. Keep them safe and out of harm's way, Lord. Have your way in this service now as we commit it to you in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Oh, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, you are holy, you are holy, holy are you, Lord God. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Oh, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy, holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty, Almighty, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, you are holy, holy are
are you, Lord God? Almighty, Almighty, worthy is, worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
Come on, one more time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are, say you are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Almighty, worthy is, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, worthy is the Lamb. Give me the key of G.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary is the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, the mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The valley is the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It suits my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. this mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Come on, for it reaches, hallelujah.
Oh, for it reaches to the highest mountain. Thank God it flows to the lowest valley. The valley is the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never, it will never, it will, no it won't, no it won't, it will never, no.
Hallelujah.
His power.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for that flow? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
To the lowest valley, down in the valley, is the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power.
Oh, that crimson flow. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's blood for you this morning to erase every sin? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. There's only one provided way, and that's through the blood. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats this morning. Have a few special. Sister Shonda, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord.
For it reaches to the highest mountain, oh Lord. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose his power.
God bless you. If you know this song, please help me sing it. I was unprepared. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, my Jesus, like the fragrance after
praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Shonda. Amen. Sister Tanya, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord.
Precious than gold. So what whatever you have to give, you don't have to be ashamed. Just come as you are and present it in Jesus' name. For in return of a torment life, He'll give you love.
Prayer requests up here this morning. I have a little praise report. The other morning, I guess Tuesday morning, about 7 o'clock, I got to one of my stops, and my wife called, and I was talking to her on the phone, and a car pulled up at one of the pumps. And this guy got out. He went into the store. This other guy got out, music blasting. He's just dancing, all kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, something's wrong with this character. So I finished speaking with my wife, and I walked into the store, and I walked in just behind the guy that was dancing. So he was standing by the door, and I walked in, and I opened the door, and I said, "What's up?" He said, "What's up?" And I walked right past the guy. And as I was walking by, the guy at the register said, "Derek, can you come out here, please?" Well, when Derek came out, some construction workers walked in right behind me. And the guy went and got in his car and left. Well, while he was out there dancing, the construction worker saw that he had a gun. And then the guy at the register, he saw that he had a gun, so he called his friend Derek so the guy would know that he wasn't there by himself. And I'm walking right past this man. He could have grabbed me by my throat and did whatever he wanted to. But the Lord God sent those men right in behind me, and he walked out of the door. So I want to thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. He has his ways of protecting his children. Sometimes he uses angels, sometimes he'll come himself. And sometimes he'll anoint construction workers to go in and take care of the job for him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God bless each and every one of you, saints. I tell you what, these prayer services, they do something. We're covered by prayer, meaning we're covered by the blood. Amen. So he is our protector. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister, you have the announcements. Praise the Lord. We have a birthday on Monday. Sister Sam, God bless you. Happy birthday, sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. Communion and foot washing tonight at 5:30, so we all want to make it for that. Sisters and brothers prayer Tuesday at 7:30. Amen. God bless your saints. If you can't make it, get in your closet. Get along with the Lord and pray at that time with your brothers and sisters. Amen. The upcoming meetings, winter youth meetings, Rapture and Faith Tabernacle, February 16th through the 18th. Also, La Fontaine Family Jubilee Concert will be February 17th at 6 p.m. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We're going to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithe and an offering. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we give praise to your name for your grace, your mercy, your love, your unfailing love, Lord. Father, we're so grateful that we're able to gather this morning, Lord God. We're grateful for you being our provider and meeting each and every need that we have. And Father, we at this time, in this little portion of our worship, give in return, Lord, that which you have requested of us, and also from our hearts we give. And Father, I ask that you bless the giving of your children, Lord. Bless each and every one. Bless them abundantly. Lord, fulfill your words. You said you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, Lord. Lord, I received a blessing, Lord, of your protection the other day. Lord, all of that comes from tithing, Lord, and offering. What a blessing, Lord, to give and return life. Thank you so much. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. We ask this all in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Like never before, oh my soul, I will worship. Come on, let's sing it in. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I will worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I will worship your holy name. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Sister Tina, will you come? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I will worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I will worship your holy name. Worship your holy name.
God bless you. I had two songs in mind, and I just don't know which one.
I may not be the best at anything, or have the best of anything. Sometimes
I feel like I'm the least of all. But I know someone who has everything, and he is my everything, and I am happy just to know that I'm his child. His name is Jesus. He's the righteous Son of God. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. His name is Jesus, and he's my everything. Yeah. And I am happy just to know that I'm his child. I may not be the best at anything or have the best of anything. Sometimes I feel like I'm the least of all. But I know someone who has everything, and he is my everything, and I'm happy just to know that I'm his child. Yes, his name is Jesus, the righteous Son of God. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Oh, his name is Jesus. He's my everything. Yeah. And I am happy just to know that I'm his child. I may not be the best at anything or have the best of anything. Sometimes I feel like I'm the least of all. But I know someone who has everything, and he is my everything, and I'm happy just to know that I'm his child. Oh, his name is Jesus. He's the righteous Son of God. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Oh, his name is Jesus. He's my everything, and I am happy just to know that I'm, yeah. Oh, his name is Jesus. He's the lily. He's the bride. Oh, yes, his name is Jesus. He's my everything, and I am happy just to know. And I am happy just to know. And I am happy just to know that I'm his child.
Amen. Aren't you glad to know that you're his child? Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Tina. We're going to ask Brother Jack to come at this time. Let's sing that little song together. We're going up yonder. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on.
Where I am going, where I am going, oh, soon
If anybody asks you where I am going, where I am going, oh, soon, oh, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Well, I can't take the pain, the heartaches they bring, the comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'll run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Well, I'm going up. Going up yonder to be with my Lord. I'm going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going in the rapture, going in the rapture, going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Yes, I am. Hey, going in the rapture. One of these mornings, I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with my Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder. Hey, I'm going up yonder. Oh, to be with my Lord. See, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture, hey, to be with my Lord. Oh, hey, going up yonder, going up yonder, hey, going up yonder, oh, to be with my Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Yes, I'm going up yonder. Oh, to be with my Lord. See, yeah, 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 yeah. See, I'm going up yonder, going up yonder. Oh,
living my Lord. One more time, everybody say, I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder. Going up yonder to be with my Lord. Somebody praise the King of Kings. Somebody praise the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Church, it won't be long. We'll be leaving here. Amen. Anybody looking forward to that? Amen. This world is not my home. Amen. I come from God and I'm going back to God. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Just turn around and greet somebody. Say, so good to see you this morning. Amen. Tell them it's so good to see you this morning. My, my, my. Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. My Jesus. Hallelujah. My God. Amen. Y'all can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Man, God is good. Somebody say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. It feels so good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. On this day. Good to have Sister Laura in the house. Lord, bring her out the hospital and brought her into the house. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Good to see Sister Linda as well. And amen. I see Mother Pierre. Amen. So good to see her with her daughters, granddaughter. Amen. Sister Rebecca, Sister Sharon, amen. God bless you all. So good to have y'all, amen, on today. And I see our precious sister here. Did we get a card on her? Our sister sitting next to Sister Tanya? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. That's right. She came about 3 weeks ago. Been coming for the last couple weeks. So I'm getting used to the face. Good to see her again. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's real good. Amen. So my. Appreciate all the specials, amen, that went forth on today. Thank God for those songs. A couple things that I just need to make mention of to you. Okay, I didn't see him over there. Elias done slipped in. That's it. I see him. I see him. I see you. I see you. Gonna be a new man in a few weeks. God bless you. So good to have you, man, in the house of the Lord. Just a couple things I just need to make mention of. Amen. I wanted to thank you. If those of you that have not had the opportunity, we have these little forms there on the table as you go out. But a few weeks ago we had our business meeting, and we are on a journey. The church voted, and we all on a journey. 3 years, we have voted for 3 years to pledge $3,000 a year towards our church building fund. So for the next 3 years, ask people to commit to $3,000 a year. And that would allow us to raise roughly $300,000 if 35 people committed to $3,000 a year for the next 3 years. That allowed us to raise about $300,000 for us to be able to get our own church. We're paying out a lot of money in rent, amen, but we want to be able to have our own. And we voted, we talked about it, and if you have not been able to fill out one of these, we're asking that, amen, those that are part of the church, if you would take a pledge form, fill it out, put your name on it, sign, amen, that you'll be a part of this, amen, and just drop it in the little it's like a little box there. Just drop it in the box. But we're just kind of just want to know, you know, just what everybody's going to be able to just contribute to. If you can't do the full $3,000, whatever it is, but we want everybody to be a part of this blessing because God's getting ready to do something special. Amen. I believe so. We're asking that everyone do that, and I want to thank God for those that have completed their pledge and turned it back in. We thank God for that. I won't give the number yet as to what we're expecting until everybody had a chance to do it. So I'm announcing that again today. If you haven't done it, then please do that and put it back in there as soon as possible. The other thing that you'll see out there is we have these letters that are written here from the church, something that the Lord just gave me to write. And we're asking that you take that, different people in your life that God might have you to just give one to that want to be a part of this journey with us, amen, and pledging towards us trying to get our own place. Please just, you know, whoever you feel led to give it to, then give it to them. And, we'll certainly appreciate that. So, but we want to just begin our journey to, amen, to exit renting and starting to own. Amen. Nothing wrong with that, right? Amen. And I believe this is a season for us to be able to do that. So since we voted on it, we're all in. Amen. I'm asking everyone, please give a form back. Amen. Just showing your commitment as to what you'll be doing. Praise the Lord. A couple other things I need to make mention of. I had a little sermon in my heart that I was going to preach, but I just kind of felt leading not to go in that direction. But I was talking last week about coming off of Facebook, amen, for at least a week. And my primary reason for saying that is it's order to contain, right? I was going to preach a sermon on containment, and I won't give you the whole, you know, thing today. But in order to sometimes contain viruses, you have to disconnect people from the virus. All right. So sometimes you have spiritual viruses that are spreading, and the only way that you can be safe from the virus is you have to disconnect, right? So and the purpose for disconnecting you is to contain the virus. We don't want to see other people get sick, right? Spiritually sick. So we that's why I asked you just kind of, you know, especially some of this stuff is just nonsense, y'all. So it's best that you just kind of get away from some of it, right? And you know, there's different ways that we handle things, but that's why I brought that out last week, and I do, you know, I have a sermon developed around that, but I won't preach it today. I'll save it. Amen. I'll save it. I just kind of felt that maybe me coming out and preaching it right now, it might get real close to some things. It might be misunderstood. And I don't want the word of God to be misunderstood. Amen. I want you to catch what God is trying to say to you. But, amen, even if you feel led, amen, to remain contained, stay disconnected. Right. Amen. If you feel led, as soon as you see some nonsense, you need to be running for your life. Don't try to answer questions. Paul actually told you to avoid foolish questions. Yeah. Amen. That means Paul did not answer every question. Amen. It's not that he's running from it. This man revealed 2/3 of the New Testament, but he still didn't answer every question. Right. I mean, I got a quote that I'm gonna share it with y'all. I'm gonna let y'all read it. I'll tell you about it right now. But there was one time a brother walked up and gave Brother Branham a book. He said, "When you get a chance, just read this." And Brother Branham took the book. He said, "Okay." And he took the book and he laid it on top of his Bible and he set it in his office. And the Holy Spirit told him, "Take that mess off my Bible." Now. I think it was the word mess, but it was something that serious. Take that mess or that junk, something like that, off my Bible. And now here the prophet who the word come to, and God telling him not to read something. A prophet, right? So if a prophet would be warned, don't read that, then we got to be warned as well. You know, some things don't read. You don't want certain things going into your spiritual womb. Because once you allow certain stuff into your spiritual womb, it will give birth. And many of us just don't realize sometimes we wrapped up in something and don't even know what we're into. Because somebody might lead and say a little something over here, and you might have just a little agreement, but they trying to pull you into something a little further than where you want to go. I'm talking about containment. All right. I can't preach it today. But I'm just dropping that off for the church. That's, you know, that I gave you Leviticus because there were certain things when it got to leprosy, only certain people could handle it. Only the priests were designated by God to handle leprosy. But now we got everybody else trying to diagnose. Look. If you're not a doctor, certain things you probably shouldn't be working on. All right, I mean, that's just the way it is. We got an issue here, doc. You find a doctor. That means somebody drop in here and they pressure go down or something like that. And man, they drop in here. You looking for somebody with a certain skill set. When you go to the hospital, you're not going to stop and talk to the person at the reception desk if you got some serious pain. That person can't help you. All they can do is take your name. And sometimes you get frustrated with them because, look, I'm in pain. I don't need you asking me all these questions. Find me somebody that can help me. I'll get the questions answered later. See, we got people that's designated to handle certain issues. Oh, all right. But it's all about containment, right? That's what it's all about. But I that's just a prelude to some of it. You'll get more later on. Amen. But I'm just kind of giving you a general warning because the enemy is at work in our midst. The devil is busy. Amen. But I thank God want to just give us victory in every area. So I just appreciate the Lord. And I told y'all on Friday night. Not Friday, which we do appreciate the tape we heard on Friday night. Brother Branham brought out a statement about people, it's snowing, they won't go to church, but there's a basketball game, you know, getting ready to happen in that same city, and the doors was packed. You know, I mean, you couldn't stop people from going in. They didn't go to church, but they did go to the basketball game. And he said, your God is a piece of flat air. That's who people God is. They worship the ball. All right. I'm going to leave that alone. They worship the ball. They'll put the ball before God. All right. Amen. But we want to put God in his proper place. Amen. So, you know, we want to honor God. Amen. He's the one that gives us our life, our health, our strength, and everything else. So we want to honor him. But we appreciate that tape, amen, on Friday night. But Wednesday night I was talking about hurt people will hurt people. Hurt people will hurt people. And if you're spiritual and you can listen to hurt people, you'll see how their hurts are hurting other people. And that's not the solution just by you talking about it. You need deliverance. You need God to bring some healing to your body. Your inner man needs to be healed. Because if your inner man was healed, you wouldn't be talking the way you're talking and acting the way you're acting. But your inner man is suffering. And hurt people actually hurt other people. Amen. Their actions do it. So, you know, I want you to be careful, church. Be very, very careful. Don't feed on a lot of nonsense. The stuff that ain't going nowhere, it ain't going to change. I remember a preacher used to say all the time, he said, let the dogs bark. The caravan is moving on, right? So when you see dogs just barking at a car that's moving, I ain't never seen the owner get out the car and, you know, try to stop the dogs from barking. They just keep driving because eventually they know that dog and realize I can't keep up with that car. And that dog just running, it just turn and go back home. And that's all that's happening. You got dogs barking. But you just keep moving on. Praise the Lord. I hope y'all can understand that. So, let me move on. This week we had a little something come up. I shouldn't say something come up, but we were out and took our students bowling, and they probably not going to tell everybody, amen, that I beat them. Amen, Sister Samaya, praise the Lord. but I beat them in bowling. But while we was there, I was just noticing, you know, something. There was a group of men that had kind of come, and they start bowling as well. Just observing them. And in my spirit, I picked up and just discerned that these men are men that are coming from all over the U.S. And they're coming here to Florida because they probably have some type of addiction. And they want to be free from that addiction. And I just began to process and think about that. And it just hit me. It's like, you know what? South Florida, Palm Beach County, is the capital for people that are trying to break addictions. They come here to Palm Beach County. And I say, Lord, what if we were able to get some type of outreach opportunity where we could go into one of these homes and just be able to preach the gospel to the people? Because what happens is that pretty much every 30 days you're getting a new group of people that's coming in, and you get a chance to sow something in them. They may not stay here, but they may go back home transformed by the word of God that was spoke to the spirit. So I say, I start praying, and I'm going to ask the church, would y'all be in prayer with me that God would open up some door for us to get in and just kind of just begin to work with people. God has done some things for people in this congregation. You got testimony that people need to hear that God is real. God can set you free. God can deliver you. Right, we got people here that need to share those testimonies. So, you know, y'all be in prayer that God would just open up some doors. Even if you hear, you know, maybe something where we might be able to come in. I'm thinking, you know, just like we do Pinnacle Palms, because, you know, Pinnacle Palms, we've been praying about that. As the Lord, is this where you want us to stay, or do you want us to do something else? And if God opens up another door, we're going to walk in that. But until that door opens, we'll stay where we are. Right. So, you know, but I just want y'all to just be in prayer, because we're looking for opportunities that we can be of an impact to those that are in our community. I think we have people we're bumping into them every day and just letting them go right by. But we have the hope that they need. We have the help that they need. It lays within inside of us, church. So we have to have a burden to get out there and share these things with others. And I want to take that and lay that in the lap of the church. Amen. It goes beyond these four walls. We got to get out there and help somebody. Amen. We're not trying to just get members in the church. We're trying to get people back to heaven. Some of them have lost their way here on earth, but we're trying to just get them back to heaven. Let them know you come from God and you got to go back to God. Hallelujah. So church, just please keep us in prayer. We're looking for that, and we know the devil will fight us as we try to pursue it, but nonetheless, we're going to do that. And the other thing that happened this week, we at the school, we have this person that kind of comes in once a week, and you know, they do some things, and this lady, she my wife was telling me, she stopped her. The lady was trying to get the address to the school, and somehow she pulled up the address to the church, and then it came to the website of the church. And as she went to the website of the church just looking for the address, she heard singing on the website. And when she heard the singing on the website, she came and asked my wife. She said, now, is this building here a part of what y'all do here? Is it the same? Like, no, it's not the same, but it is, you know, our church. She's like, I went to y'all website and I heard y'all singing. Say, oh, my goodness, I ain't never heard singing like that. And she said, the singing just really did something to me. And I say, my God. I begin to think, church, and sometimes we don't realize. We come up and we sing a little song and, you know, think that's something, but you don't know how that is ministering to somebody. And church, as we get ready to go out here, you know, you can't, when they went to battle, they put the singers up front, right? You have a ministry. You God gave you that gift for a reason, and it's got to be used for His glory, right? But we, you know, when we get ready to do the tent, we're gonna do things a little different. We're not just gonna have a song service. We might have a little praise team in the tent. three or four singers. Man, y'all get the anointing going in here. Because this is what we need in order to break these chains. Church, I'm just trying to lay it all out before. Man, we're going to do war. And everybody got to be in their place. So don't sit on your gift. We can't let you do that. It's blessing people, right? So some kind of way, we gotta pull together and we got to do what God has called us to do. Amen. And God didn't call us just to come sit on these pews or chairs. That's not it. We got to get out and we got to do something. We got to make an impact in our community. So church, I'm telling the singers, y'all get ready. Amen. Everybody that can be used to do something. There might be some of y'all swear, I don't sing, I don't do nothing. You can pass out tracts. You can smile at somebody. You can give somebody a hug and tell them Jesus love them. You can do something. They need a God with skin on them. You be the God with skin on them. We all have a responsibility. And church, this is the beginning of the year. We're just setting it right. We're trying to set it right. But this is where we're trying to go. Last year was raise the octave. Here's the octave. God has given us the octave. We're raising it. And we're going out. We're going to do something. And I pray that everybody be on board. I pray you'll be on board with this. If you can't go, I pray you at least be praying for us. And I'm saying if you can't go. Some of us, it's one thing if we can't go. And it's another thing when we just don't go. Right? And if you can't go, we understand. But if you can go, we want to see you involved. Sometimes even people seeing other cars at the tent, they wonder who that is. They don't know that y'all part of the church, right? They just see a whole bunch of cars there at the tent. Don't go to the tent and see one car. Praise the Lord. Everybody got to be involved in this. But if we did go to a tent and there was only one person come, we're going to preach the gospel to that one. Y'all know what happened to Dwight Moody, right? He was the only one in the tent. We're going to be faithful now. Hey, man, I learned how to be faithful all by myself. I learned how to worship all by myself. I can do a lot of stuff by myself. But I think it's better when we all work together. Amen, amen, amen. All right. I think that's all I need to announce. And I will turn my attention towards the word. Musicians, thank y'all so much. We certainly appreciate you all. Just a real blessing. Real blessing. I want you all to remember, Sister Brown, is there any other update on Brother David? Okay. Brother David Foxworth, he's come here to the church and relatives to Sister Linda, Sister Brown, Sister Laura, cousins, I believe. But Brother David is really going through. Yesterday, his heart stopped, I believe, four times, and they had to revive him four times. So last night I was at the hospital and, you know, just praying with him and praying for him, and, you know, got a chance to see some of the other family members and, you know, and things of that nature. But the doctors have not given him a favorable report. It's really going to take God. Amen. At this time, so we please remember Brother David, remember his family in prayer, and you know, we're just trusting God. And I was telling the sister last night on the phone, it's not our will, but it's the will of the Father, and we just, you know, we want God's will to be done. You know, so just, you know, we just please, they have to make a lot of decisions, and it's not easy, you know, during a time like this. So please remember the Foxworth family in your prayers. Amen. They could certainly use it at this time. Praise the Lord. You all stand with me. Amen. We will have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn to a couple of scriptures, and I'll let you be seated. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we come before your presence. We want to come on behalf of the Foxworth family. God, yesterday was a pretty rough day there for Brother David and all the things that he was going through with his body. God, the doctors have given us their report, but we want to see what you have to say about it. So God, while there's breath in his body, we're going to ask that you touch him. There is nothing too hard for you. Even though we hear this, we still say there's nothing too hard for you. So God, we're just trusting you that you would lead, guide, and direct each person through this process, through this time. We look to you, God. That's all we can do is look to you. So we pray that you would be involved. Touch his body, touch the family, give strength, Lord, to each and every one. And may you be glorified. We thank you that you brought Sister Laura out of the hospital. Doctors couldn't find anything. They ran tests, couldn't find anything. That shows that your hand is at work. And if you can do it for her, you can do it for him. So, Father, we just commit them now into your capable hands. As we turn our attention to the Word of God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would take control over the thought today. And may you get all the glory. May you get all the honor. May you get all the praise from everything that would be spoken and everything that would be received. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to two portions of Scripture. I'll start in Exodus 7 and then I'll go to John 5 as well. We're trying to kind of tie a couple things together here, and we'll see how the Lord takes it. Exodus 7, just verse 1 and 2, then I want to go over to John 5. It says here in Exodus 7, says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." This is a powerful statement. I have made thee, you're a God to another person. He's a God to Pharaoh, right? I've made thee a God to Pharaoh. Now, that should not shock us too much, right? Because if a cat gives birth, it should be another cat. If a dog gives birth, it should be another dog. If a monkey gives birth, it should be another monkey. And if God gives birth, it should be God. So I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all, and that's the key thing that I want us to try to catch there. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron, thy brother, shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Amen. Let's turn over here to John 5. And we will just read this. I'll start at verse 14 in John 5. Praise the Lord. It says this, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I'll wait to give you my title. If I could just have you read, amen, a couple more scriptures with me, we will take off from there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And while we're getting this, Do I have anybody in here that would be honest, amen, and say that the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way? Amen. Anybody? I want you to just kind of get in your mind, amen, before we get started here. I want you to get in your mind just maybe some of the things the Lord has brought you from, right? Some of the things that God has done for you. You know, they used to have a saying, you can't tell it. Let me tell it what the Lord has done for me, you know, and if God has brought you from somewhere, if God has done something for you, delivered you from something or whatever, you know, you ought to get that in your mind and just think on that. And we're going to read these scriptures, and we'll go from there. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and some of us have been delivered from fornication, nor idolaters. Praise the Lord. Amen. We talked about that. Hey, Brother Branham talked about that basketball. That was idolatry, right? It says, because that got before God. God don't want nothing in front of him. He's got to be first, right? Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. God has delivered us from some of these things, nor effeminate. Now, if you don't understand what that word is, that's homosexualism. And if God has not delivered anybody here from that, amen, I want you to understand that you can't avoid every homosexual you see, because the Bible said that some of the effeminate were going to be delivered. Somebody that's effeminate will be delivered. No, it's not acceptable. Bible even telling us that you can't even make it to heaven like that. Y'all want me to read it again? Verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And there's a lot that's involved in that. Right? Abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. You can't steal and go to heaven, nor covetous. Amen. Nor drunkards. You can't drink and go. All right. Nor revilers, nor extortioners, cheat people. You can't do that and go. None of that going to inherit the kingdom of God. Right? Shall inherit the kingdom of God. And verse 11 says, and such were. That I like that. Were. I used to be that way. This was my testimony, but when Christ came in, I became a new creation, right? I'm a new creature in Christ, right? So such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, see, some, you know, reading that particular scripture, if any of us were guilty of some of the things that I just read, you can go back in your mind. You can see where the Lord brought you from. And you can look at your neighbor and say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Our title today, and the Lord did that thing. The Lord did that thing.
Amen.
God is a good God. And he's doing some great things in our midst. So let me just, you know, work my way into this. The Lord did that thing. Here, I want to read from amen. I was going to read another scripture, but I'll bypass that right now. I'll give it to you for homework. You can go read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and you can see how God brought you from a mighty long way. But I want to read a quote here from blind Bartimaeus, and we're circling, you know, bringing our way back over here to John 5, and just using that, you know, the Lord did that thing. The Lord did that. You know, you couldn't deliver yourself.
Right.
You couldn't get yourself free from some of the stuff that you was involved in, but God did it. Amen. The Lord did that thing. All right. So here I want to just kind of take this. Blind Bartimaeus says this. Now, Jesus, that I might speak to you this way, when he was on earth, he did not claim to be a healer. He claimed he only did as the Father showed him to do. Is that right? How many ever read that in the Bible? You know, St. John 5:19, that Jesus Christ himself never healed anybody. No, he said, I do nothing till the Father shows me first what to do. He saw a vision of what to do, and then he did what the Father told him. He said that, and his words, of course, is true, isn't it? St. John 5:19, when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Now, he had to tell the truth because he was infallible. He was the Son of God, and God, amen, and God himself was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The body, the man was Jesus, the Son of God, but the spirit in him was Jehovah itself, tabernacled here in human flesh in order to take away sin. He goes on and says, did you ever notice the great thing why God did that? Now, God had to be made flesh because it wouldn't be right if somebody else was flesh. And if God was a man of flesh who sent a different man to make two men having two gods, it wouldn't be right. See, because God himself couldn't send somebody else and be just. Amen. If he pronounced the penalty, he had to take it himself. In order to do it, he had to make himself a body, which was a created son. Jesus Christ himself dwelled in this for the suffering, made himself a little lower than the angels to take the suffer for sin and for sickness. Now, I wanted to just kind of bring that, because even here, the prophet tells us that Jesus himself was not the one that would do the healing. It was God that was doing it. God was showing him where to go. God was showing him who to come in contact with. God was doing all these things. And as God did that, then, you know, the supernatural would take place. When we read in John 5, you know what happened? Jesus felt led, amen, to go down here to this sheep gate, this sheep market. It was a pool there, that the pool of Bethesda, you know, that he went down to. And what the Bible tells us, that there would be a lot of people just laying here at this gate, or laying here at this pool, and they're just waiting for a particular something to happen. And as they would sit there at that pool, they wait for the troubling of the water. Amen. They wait for the angel of God. The Bible say the angel would come down at a certain season. Hallelujah. You got to be able to catch God in his seasons. Amen. We were talking about that on last week. It seemed like this was a season for people that needed transportation. God was blessing them in this season. Right. And when you see God blessing other people, that's when you got to jump in and try to get what, you know, God got for you. If you having some car trouble, you ought to be expecting God to do something for you. Amen. Because this is the season. And the thing of it is, when they recognized that the angel was coming in that season, they never knew when the season was going to happen. But when the angel came in that season, they had to jump in. And the first person to jump in was the first person and the only person to be made whole. Right. You couldn't be coming to the pool. You couldn't be getting ready, amen, at house to get there. You had to already be there and be prepared, ready to jump in if you wanted to get your healing. I don't care what your condition was. If you got into that pool when the angel moved, your condition was going to change. Hallelujah. That's where the people's faith was, that if I get in now, things are going to change. But you know, Jesus, when he went down here, there was a man that had been sitting at this pool for about 38 years. Now, you know, you look at this man, and Jesus, you know, walks up to him, and he's laying there on his cot, and Jesus asked him a question, say, will thou be made whole? Now, this man really didn't answer Jesus' questions. He came back with a bunch of excuses as to why he couldn't be made whole. God don't want to hear your excuses. Amen. He asks you a question. He want to answer. Well, the reason I can't get whole is because, you know, when I'm coming down, somebody get in front of me. And it's been happening this way for 38 years. When you going to do something different? You know, I told you before that when you give God excuses only satisfy one person. Amen. Excuses only satisfy the person that's making them. Nobody else get nothing out of that excuse. Right? God himself don't get no glory from your excuse. So we got to get rid of our excuses, and we got to get busy for God.
So he said, look, he said, I didn't ask you, you know, about what everybody else is doing. I'm asking you, will you be made whole? And, you know, when he said, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another step is down before me. So he's trying to say, I need some help, but I can do some things on my own. What he was very comfortable in his condition. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you read this scripture, the leaders of that day was also comfortable with him in that condition. Because when the man got healed, the very first thing they said is that, why are you doing this on the Sabbath day? Why are you rather than say praise God for your healing, they say, why you allow this to happen on the Sabbath day? Like he can pick the day. When God gonna heal him, he can't pick the day. But what Jesus said, take up your bed, rise, take up your bed and walk. He did exactly that. He was made whole from that very hour. Yes, sir. Amen. Now what Jesus was trying to say, now I didn't do that in my own. I didn't do that on my own. What happens is that God showed me that the man was gonna be down there. And all I did, and see, irregardless of the conversation that I'm having with the man, that did not detour Jesus. I want y'all to stay with me. Right? That didn't detour Jesus. Even though this man didn't even answer the right way. Even though, his response was not the right response. God had it in his mind that that man was going to be made whole on that day. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You might have come to church with the wrong attitude, but if God got in his mind that this going to be the day that you are delivered, then this going to be the day. If God had in his mind that this is going to be the day that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then this is going to be the day. Even if you didn't want to be here, you can't stop God. So here this man is sitting there, and no matter what he said, Jesus knew that God showed him that he would be there. And he went down and started talking to him, and before you knew it, this man was up, and he was made whole, and the sad part is he didn't even know who made him whole. When they begin to ask questions, you know, like, who told you to take up your bed and walk? Like, they didn't know. Who else is telling them to do things on the Sabbath day? Who else in y'all camp keep coming up with these type of things? Y'all know it's Jesus. But when they heard it was Jesus, they began to come against him. But the key thing I want you to get there is that Jesus made it very clear that he wasn't the one doing it. It was God. It was God that was showing him. As a son, God was showing him what to do. And what I want you to understand is that, amen, when God begins to move in this hour with you, it's not you doing it. The Lord did that thing. And you're going to have to stop and give glory to God. Amen. The Lord did that thing. All he did was just use your elements. But it was God that did that. You pray for somebody in that hill, God did that. You can't take no glory. The Lord did that thing. Recently, we were here and we had the prayer line that back in October. And before the prayer line, before that service happened, we had gone there to Indiana, and God had worked two miracles right there in Indiana right before our very eyes. Right. And we had no idea that it had been worked. Yeah. Right? Both Sister Tanya and Sister Burrs, amen, they were both being prayed for. Sister Burrs had some pain in her legs, and she was doing all kind of things throughout the weekend to try to just get herself situated. And that night after the service, you know, we called up the prayer line, and the pastor called the prayer line. He prayed, and the next morning, Sister Burrs, we getting ready to get on the plane. She said, my legs ain't hurt no more. I had the best sleep that I could have last night for all the time that I was there. I had the best sleep last night. See, that was the Lord that did that thing. Right? The Lord did that thing. Right. I mean, and then Sister Tanya got in there and just, you know, wanted to pray before she went to the doctor. Amen. About the cancer that was developing there on the scalp. And she said, I just want prayer before I go to the doctor. And she come home from the trip. Couple days after trip, we home and everybody getting all situated. And she goes into the mirror, not even knowing when it happened, but went to the mirror and start parting her hair. And she kept parting, and she kept parting, and she kept parting. She could not find where the growth was. She thought maybe her eyes was playing tricks on her. You know how the devil do, right? The devil say, now maybe you're going blind. Right? This thing done attack you so bad, now you're going blind. You can't even see it no more. So she called her husband and say, do you see it? Because I can't see it, and I don't know what done happened, but this thing is gone, and I don't even know when it dropped off. Right? I have no idea when this thing left me, but what I do know is gone. And I'm here to give God some glory to tell everybody the Lord did that thing. So we felt led after, you know, these testimonies, like we need to pray for the sick. Uh-huh. Yes. We want to pray for the sick. And, yes. You know, and I was telling church, now try to find somebody. So, you know, when we talk about praying for the sick, we talk about some serious cases. We talk about cancer. We talk about, you know, some really hard things. You might have a toothache, a headache, and, you know, you can deal with that, you know, sometime. But we talk about something that's life-threatening, right? And so there was different ones that came here to the church to be prayed for that night. Praise the Lord. And I remember, you know, Sister Sherelle brought her brother, and he was going blind. He came back to church a few weeks ago. Y'all saw him come to church, and as soon as that church was over, he walked out to greet me, to shake my hand and say, Pastor, he said, I just wanted you to know that I'm receiving sight back in one of my eyes. I said, if God did one eye, he gonna do the other eye too. Right? The Lord did that thing. I was saying invite people to come, and, you know, and I was, me and Brother Quentin, that went down to one of my relatives' house, and we was putting up some shutters, you know, for him, because he was a little sick and he wasn't able to do this. So we went and we went and put up the shutters for him, and right before the hurricane, and as I'm sitting there just talking, I'm watching him walking, and, you know, and he's kind of, you know, just struggling a little bit, and it just, you know, I don't know why we. Hey, why I'm going to put it on me. Why am I so blind to opportunity? My Lord. Right? Here the man walking right by me, struggling to walk, and we get ready to have a prayer line service, and I ain't said nothing to invite him. I pray you get better. No, it's a prayer line. God just did something. Share the testimony. Yeah. So, you know, it just hit me. And I'm going to tell you, I can't even take credit, because the Lord did that too. God anoints you to testify at the right time. Because sometimes we don't think about it. Right? But here, you know, it just kind of hit me. Say, oh, show him the picture. You know, Sister Tanya being healed, showing the before and after picture. So I showed him the picture. I told him a testimony. I said, you know what? And we're going to have a prayer line at our church, and I'd love to invite you to come. He said, you know, we're going to be there. And they came, and after he left, that man had not driven his car for months, or it might even be over a year. He had not driven, but after that service, he got in the car and drove his wife home. He also had a situation where he had to have his stomach drained like every week because of some fluid building up in his stomach. After that service, he was going by 5 or 6 weeks before he had to have draining again. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a hand of praise. Another thing that he was not able to eat. He had no appetite. But now his wife came by enough groceries to keep in the house for the same man. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Lord did that thing. The Lord did that thing. And if God did that, he got more he want to do. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. You know, and so this week I ran into another man that, you know, he tells me, he said, Pastor, I need to see you. I say, yes. He said, you know, remember that service that y'all had? He's from Washington. He just happened to be passing through that night. It just happened to be visiting his family member that night. Yeah. What?
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you how the Lord works. What wasn't even supposed to be here, just coming to visit a family member, but I invited the family member to come to church. Uh-huh. And the family member brought the cousin along. The cousin had to drive him here. Got him here, and, you know, they was prayed for, and the cousin told me this week, he said, now, I had a cyst right here on my, you know, he said, I had it right in here on my arm here. He said, I know I had that cyst. Say, because sometimes it get real hard, then sometimes it get a little soft, and say, it wasn't cancerous or anything, but I knew I had that. He said, I was sitting in the service, and I got prayed for, and, you know, and before I knew it, I realized the cyst was gone. In the service. In that service. That prayer service. That prayer line service. The cyst dropped off the man. And cyst was, it's internal, right? So somehow, some way, the cyst disappeared. And he came and said, Pastor, I just want to tell you. I said, man, the Lord did that thing. Won't he do it? Amen. Oh, my God. See, church, we got to understand that God is moving. God, I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With testimonies like these, we ought to go to the streets. Amen. That's right. Amen. We ought to share hope with people. Right. Right? We can't wait for them to come to us. Let's go to them. Hallelujah. People looking for a God with skin on them. See, God did this. And, you know, I want to just kind of drop into something here. Amen. I'm going to read Acts 3:16 here for in a second. But another little quote that I want to just give you. Faith is the substance. Amen. Faith is the substance. The prophet says this, the very God back there in the beginning that rolled the world, the moon, the stars, and made them from things which do not appear. Or made them out of things that do appear, right? He says out of things, and where did he get the material to make it? Right. He spoke it into existence by his word. He said, let there be. See, and if I could just break it down, the chair you sitting on is because of the spoken word of God. The car you're driving in is because of the spoken word of God. This earth was void. It was empty. It was nothing. My God. But when God spoke, it became something. So everything that you have is because of the spoken word of God. Listen, he says, he spoke it into existence by his word. He said, let there be, and it was so. Deity, and this is what I want you to get, a portion of that deity dwells in the heart of every born-again Christian. Amen. So there's a portion of God dwelling on the inside of you. And when the situation is ripe and ready, God will anoint you to speak. Listen, say hallelujah. Then what did he say? Ask what you will and it'll be given to you. There you are. Deity, it fell on there at Pentecost. It's still falling. All right. Yes, hallelujah. I tell you, we need to recognize these things. I mean, and when we see God do it, give him all the glory. God did that thing. It wasn't us. It was God that did it. Now, let me just kind of drop into Acts 3:16 really quick. I want to read that. Amen. And this, the Bible says, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now I want you to catch that. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, you know, when we look at this, this was the story of a man, amen, that was sitting at the gate called Beautiful, right? And as he was sitting there at the gate called Beautiful, he was begging alms and just asking different people to just give him a little money here and give him a little money there to kind of take care of himself and maybe his family, you know. And this one day, the disciples happened to be going through there. And the prophets say, no doubt, many times Jesus went right by this man. And the reason Jesus did that, he left the man there knowing that the disciples would deal with him in a future time. Hallelujah. Right. So here this man is sitting there and the disciples come by. Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. And when they get there, they see the man and say, look on us. And the man looked on them as if they were about to get something, as if he was about to get something from them. Where Peter and John say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. What they had was the healing virtue that was flowing from the Son of God was now flowing through them, and they gave that to that man. Yes, sir. Amen. They gave the man his healing. Right. Now, they couldn't do it until God showed them to do it. I don't know how many times they might have went to church and went right by him, but one day things changed. Yes, and this day, oh, my God, one of these days, is, you know, it's going to be a different service, church. I'm letting you know that right now. One day, y'all, we come, amen, out of tradition, but one day God going to drop down and do something, tradition's going to change. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that. Amen. Maybe somebody not looking for the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost just baptized you right there on the spot. That's what I'm talking about. You wonder, well, what happened to them? God did that thing. But here, you know, this man was sitting there, and, you know, he said, look on us. And he looked and said, maybe I'm going to get a little arm. I said, no, seven gold we don't have, but what we have, we want to give to you. Say, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said they picked him up. And as they picked him up, he began to receive strength in his legs. And he began to leap and he began to jump, began to worship and praise God. They couldn't sit him down in church that day. Oh, hallelujah. I wish we have a service like that. We can't sit folk down. People just get wow in the presence of God. Running here and there. And I just want to see God do some things. But after you finish running in here, you'll run out there and tell somebody that God did that thing. But what the Bible tells us is that it was faith. It through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. And what Brother Branham tells us, say, it was the faith of Jesus Christ. That man's faith did not make him whole. But what happened was that the faith of the Lord Jesus dropped in that man at that time and made him believe the promise of God. Amen. See, I'm going to tell you, when he was made whole, it wasn't even his own faith that made him whole. God did that thing. God did that, right? It was the faith of the Lord that dropped in the man and made him believe the word of God. We need God's faith to drop down in us and make us believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, something's going to change one day. Glory to God. Let's look at a couple things. I want to read a quote out of the Pergamene Church Age on that. Hallelujah. Here's where the prophet explains it. It says in Acts 3:16, when Peter was asked how the mighty miracle had taken place upon the crippled one at the gate. Beautiful. He explained it on this wise. And his Jesus name, through faith in his Jesus name, hath made this man, former cripple, strong. Yea, the faith which is by or from him, Jesus, hath given him, the man, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, there it is. Jesus' name and Jesus' faith brought about the miracle. Peter did not claim it was his own human faith any more than he claimed that it was his own name. He said that Jesus' name, used in the faith which is from Jesus, performed that great work. This faith is what the Lord was speaking about in Revelation 2:13. It was his faith. It was not faith in him. Amen. But it was his own faith that he had given to the believers. I'm in paragraph 179-2. Just type that in, 179-2. Says Romans 12:3, according as God hath dealt to every man, according to verse 1, the men are brethren, the measure of faith, Ephesians 2:8. By grace ye are saved through faith, and that faith not of yourselves is the gift of God. It is, and it also says in James 2:1, my brethren, notice he is talking to brethren, have not the faith of, not in our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. See, this is what we're looking for. We need the faith of Jesus, not just faith in Jesus, but we want the faith of Jesus to drop down inside the church. Because we'll get some things done with the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus cannot doubt his word. No matter what it goes through, the faith of Jesus will continue to believe. It's the same faith that spoke, let there be. That's the part of deity that is dwelling in every believer with the Holy Ghost. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the virtue of Jesus Christ. It's the temperance of Jesus Christ. It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right, it's the love of Jesus Christ. It's the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. It is of Jesus. and your temperance and your love and your that done run out sometime. Somebody do this, your faith is gone. You ain't got no more faith in them. We not talking about your faith. We talking about his faith. We need to sometime pray, Lord, I need your faith. Not just more faith, your faith. I need your love. I need your peace. I need your brotherly kindness. I need you, God. Amen. Hallelujah, church. See, my brother, notice he is talking to brethren. Have not the faith of, not in our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. It says in this Pergamon age, where men were humanizing salvation, having turned from the truth that salvation is of the Lord, having cast aside the doctrine of election, open wide the church door and their fellowship to any and all who subscribe to their tenets, never mind the word. In this age of rapid degradation, there were still a few who had the measure of that faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not only used that faith in acts of power, but withstood those who dared to say that they were saved simply on the grounds of joining the church. They knew that no man could truly believe unto eternal life and righteousness of God apart from the measure of the faith of the Lord Jesus himself. As today's church is filled with mental believers who endorse the virgin birth, the shed blood, going to church and taking communion and are not reborn at all. So you got a lot of people with mental faith. A lot of them. So even so, in that third age was the same problem. Human faith wasn't enough then, and it is not enough now. See, your faith is, don't get me wrong, your faith is useful. You got to mix, even what I'm preaching, you got to mix it with your faith. But if you mix it with your faith, next thing you know, you take on God's faith. Hallelujah. It takes the very faith of the Son of God to drop into a man's heart so that he can receive the Lord of glory into the temple not made with hands. God, we want your faith, not just ours. We want yours. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, the Lord did that thing. Amen. Let me just, I want to slip a couple more quotes in here. Then I want to slip over into, let me go to Statue of a Perfect Man. Then I'm going to slip over here to Exodus. We'll pick this up and bring it back around. The Lord did that thing. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Here in the Statue of Perfect Man, he says, Jesus said, is it not written, you condemn me, saying, I am the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. Isn't it written, you are God's? Don't your own law say that? Like Moses, like Elijah, like those prophets who live so close to God till God just transfer himself right into them. Oh, you had a transfer. You didn't realize that. That's what the Holy Ghost was. God was transferring himself right into you. Glory to God. Listen, God just transferred himself right into. And look, if you say you got the Spirit of God, it ought to be doing the same thing that they was doing in the book of Acts. That's what we ought to see in the church. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I thank God for that. The miracles that just happened. But I think God got some more miracles that he want to happen. And it's one thing to share testimony of what happened with God's prophet, but what's happening with God's people? Amen. You know, there's been a lot of criticism around the message saying God ain't doing nothing no more. They lying. Not here. God did some things here. God has done some things, and he's still doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to give God glory around here. We know what the Lord has done. We're not seeing God raise the dead. Right here in our midst, we done seen it. Praise the Lord. Don't tell me what God did that thing. We were sitting in a church one night and a man got offended by the word of God. And as he got offended by the word, you know, and see, we had just been, you know, working with these things in Bible study. So see, Lord, help me, God. Church, God has grounded us. God has seasoned us so we understand how this should be working now. Right? Now mix it with faith. We got the understanding. Now mix it with faith and let's see God do what God want to do. Oh my. I'm calling forth every gift that God has placed in the body. If God has given you the gift of tongues, I'm calling it forth. If God has given you the gift of interpretation, I'm calling it forth. If God has given you the gift of wisdom, I'm calling it forth. God has given you the gift of knowledge. I am calling it forth. I am tired of suppressing it. I'm calling it forth. If it was in the book of Acts, it should be in the church today. God didn't stop these things. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Listen. Let me tell you, you know, as, you know, I, we were there in the church, and the man, he resented the word. And we had just heard the testimony about, my brother Way. And Brother Way was in church, Brother Branham preaching, and that's why you got to watch your heart when you come to church, right? But you know, as he was preaching, he was saying, "No, I don't." Brother Branham said, "Brother, you got a complex. You got a complex." And the man said, "I ain't got no complex." Now, by saying I ain't got no complex, just show that you did have a complex. And because he said that at the wrong time, the man dropped dead in the service. Everybody got a little, a little upset, and his wife was a nurse. Say, I don't know what to do. Like, I told everybody, calm down. Just let me go over here and pray. Prayed for the man, and God raised him back up. And so we were at service, and this little fella, somebody preached. He had a hairstyle that was not of God. Can I say it like that? Yeah, there's some hairstyles that men can wear that are not of God. Oh, I'm gonna say it. I know I'm gonna get in trouble for this one. But I might as well say it. There are hairstyles that sisters can wear that is not of God. Not of God. God did not do that thing. We need the Holy Ghost to teach us these things. But he got offended in church because the pastor said, the minister said something about you know, something that he did, his hair, something. He said something, he said, the offenders. And we watched that boy sit right there in church, and his eyes began to roll back in his head. And he was dying. And so some of the saints saw it, and they called me and got my attention. You know, we didn't interrupt the service. Brother, stop preaching. We got somebody dying. I said, no. We got people in the congregation that can handle that.
Right.
Oh, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. You lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? So they say, Brother Jack. And I turned around and I looked and I went back there and I saw the little boy, and he just fading. He fading. And I put my hand on him. He's going cold in the church. He's going cold. That's a sign death is setting in. And I'm like, my, and we just kind of sat there and we prayed, and then I began to whisper in his ear, and I called his name, right? And I just kept calling his name and say, I call you back in the name of Jesus. I call you back. And I just kept calling his name, you know, and before you know it, he started warming up, and he was getting a little bit better. He's like, okay, all right. I said, well, thank God. We're so glad that, you know, the Lord restored him here. So when I take him to the hospital and make sure everything all right with him. They got him up, took him to the hospital. Doctors could not find anything. Amen. That's how we knew it was a spirit that was, amen, that was on him, where he disagreed with what the preacher was saying. Amen. Don't come in here. Don't come in here and play with God. Yes. You don't know who you're dealing with. Amen. And that's not just me. That's every believer in here. You watch what you say about God's children. The Bible say it is better that a millstone be tied to your neck and you drown in the ocean than to say something evil about one of God's children. And let me tell you something. Elect cannot persecute elect. That's what this message to elect. Don't do that. So watch yourself. One day you walk into something like Ananias and Sapphira thought they were just going to church and lied about their tithes. I'm going to leave that alone. Y'all, they lied about their tithes. God told them to pay 10%. They said, oh, yeah, we sold the property. That was increased. Oh, Lord. They sold property, made money off it, and then lied about how much they made off of it. Yeah, this is what we're giving. And Peter say, what tempt you to lie to the Holy Ghost? Y'all, oh, Lord, have mercy. The wife and the husband had done concocted this. I can just imagine. She probably say, oh,
I'm gonna buy this and I'm gonna buy that. He probably said, yeah, dude, you're gonna be able to get, I ain't been able to get that for you all this time, but you're gonna get it now. You know, I'm gonna take care of that. And after you get that, I'm gonna get this. And I'm gonna, oh boy, we, it's gonna be all right. Thank God. Thank God for the blessing of this land that we just sold. Glory. We're gonna celebrate. Went to church and wrote their tithe check. And Peter said, what tempt you to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why would you do something like that? And he said, lie to the Holy Ghost? What you talking about? Drop dead, just like that. And you know what? Didn't even pray for them. Brothers, come, get them, take them, dig the hole, build them in there. It was just like that. Problem is they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have WhatsApp. They didn't have, you know, I mean, you just name it. They had no applications. They didn't have CNN. They didn't have nothing. The wife had no idea that her husband had come to church, because women and men were separate at that time. She had come to church, not only come to church, was already buried. She never even went to the funeral of her own husband. That happened in church, y'all. And I'm telling you, the Lord did that thing. Wife came to church when it's time for her to come. And she come in, oh yeah, here go our portion of the tithe right here, yeah. Why y'all get home, go home and do something like that? Both of your husband, you and your husband came up with this plan and say, you know, sister, the same brothers that just buried your husband are here to bury you. She couldn't even thank my husband. Buried? No, that didn't even get out. Dead. Because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Be careful. You don't know who you dealing with. You're dealing with God, God's people. It's the Lord that's doing that thing. Let me finish this quote. I got to get over here to Exodus. All right. Where am I? It says, Jesus, it's not written. Is it not written? Is not it written? You condemn me saying that I'm the Son of God. Isn't it written that you are God's? Don't your own law say that, like Moses, like Elijah, like those prophets who lived so close to God till God just transferred himself right into them? And they spoke not themselves, but God. Take no thought what you should say, because it's not you that speaks. It's the Father that dwelleth in you. He doeth the speaking. His words is not his own, because his life, he's dead. If you die, you take the blood out of a man, you embalm him. Trouble of it is, a lot of them never get embalmed. You take the blood out of the man, he's gone. Then the only thing you can do is put another blood back in him. He's going to live again. You took his blood out. Now you've put the blood of Jesus Christ in. See, and that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, the godliness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head and controls you, and your feet is the foundation, faith. Amen. Controlled by the head. See, there you are. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. Let me go on. He says, then God represents his church as a bride, a woman. God represents his church as a bride. And the way he brings each individual to being his son, to go in that bride, he also brought the bride through the ages. Amen. Till he brings this one complete church into this. My feet moves. Why? Because my head said so. Now it can't move like my hand because it's my feet. Luther can't do the things that we did. Neither can the Methodist because they were something else. See? The feet moves because the head said so, and the head never says, now feet, you become hand. Ear, you become eye, see? But each age, God has placed these things into the church and patterned it by showing that each individual has these, possesses these qualities, and this being, when it is completed, is the church of God going to rapture. And this being and completed is a servant of God in the church of God that's going in the rapture. Glory. See what I mean? There you are. There's the full thing. Our purpose for coming here is because we're trying to become more and more like Jesus. We don't want to just be church members. We want to be Christians. Christians act like Christ. Let's flip over here to Exodus. The Lord did that thing. The Lord did it. He's working in us. He's called us from some
some really rough places in life. But God is the one that's raised us up and made us who we are today. It's the Lord that did that thing. You couldn't do it in your own strength. Amen. You didn't have the power to change yourself, but God did it. Amen. And he's still working on me. Glory to God. I'm picking up just here in Exodus. Start with Exodus 5, verse 1 and 2. And let me just, we're going to just read a couple scriptures here. Because this is a time where the children of Israel are about to leave Egypt. That's why it's called Exodus. They're getting ready to take an Exodus. But when Moses is called on the backside of the desert, and he goes back, amen, into Egypt. He run from Egypt before, but now he's going back into Egypt with a message from God, and he's going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And as Moses is on his way back, he meets his brother Aaron, you know, there in the mountain. And when Aaron meets him, and he began to tell Aaron his testimony, how he met God on the backside of the desert. Aaron was just so excited. They together went and told the elders of Israel. And when the elders of Israel heard how God had visited Moses, they knew God had sent them a deliverer. And they began to worship and to praise God because they said, thank God he sent us a prophet. I don't know why they stopped believing in the prophet. But there was a time where they did have complete faith that God had sent a prophet. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, look at this in Exodus 5, just verse 1 and 2. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. You know, as I look at that, and I'm skipping over here to chapter 7. We're going to pick that up in a second. But here, you know, Pharaoh is hearing this message coming from Moses and from Aaron. And his question is, who is the Lord? Right. Now, when he's asking that question to Moses, God heard it. Right. And God was very well equipped to be able to answer Pharaoh's question. You want to know who I am? I'm going to show you who I am. Not only am I going to show you, but I'm going to show everybody in your kingdom who I am. I am that I am. That's who sent Moses. I'm going to show Pharaoh who I am. You want to know who the Lord is? You're going to see who the Lord is. And every time a plague dropped, Pharaoh began to recognize who the Lord was. His question got answered. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't answered by Moses. The Lord did that thing. Amen. You weren't asking Moses the question. You was asking God the question. God was there in Moses. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. How can I say that? Well, Exodus 7. This is what we read at the beginning. Look at this. Exodus 7 says, the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now, I'm making you God, Moses. You are God in this situation. Sometimes we don't know who we are. You know, the prophet had a little situation at home. He said, just people coming from all over the place. And the kids got in a little, they were just fighting and just running around the house and just doing a bunch of stuff. Say his wife was just frantic. And, you know, just needing to do so much in the house. But people coming just in and out. They're like, just don't know what to do. So they went into the kitchen. He saw his wife washing the dishes and the kids running around and doing all that. And they just driving her crazy. So they went into the kitchen and he saw her getting dishes. And so he grabbed the apron and he put on the apron. I'm talking to some brothers in here. I'm talking right now. And he grabbed the apron. He put on the apron. And when he put on the apron, he started washing the dishes with his wife. And when he started washing the dishes with her, he noticed that the whole atmosphere in the house began to change. He said his wife, rather than being so frantic, she started calming down. He began to talk about a dress that he wanted to buy for and all this. And she's like, no, we can't get it. No, let me, you know, after we finish this, let's go downtown. We're going to get that dress. Like, come on, Bill. Just let me do this. Let me do this for you. I got you on this one. Say, before you know it, you know, the kids settled down. He never even said a word to him. No yelling or screaming. Just the kid settled down. And he said, when he did that, I ain't got time to read a quote, but you can find it. It's in there. He said, I became God
to the situation. I took control. My actions, the way I handled myself, I became God to that situation. Now, not only, so, you know, we stopped there, him becoming God in his household. Can I take it further? You can become God on your job. You can become God in school. You can become God wherever God needs you to be God. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God. Not for you to be worshipped. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. I mean, this is a person that can take control over the situation. I have made thee a God. No, you ain't got to be running around and frantic like everybody else. Tell everybody to calm down. Relax, we got this. We got this. Hallelujah. He says, and I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And this is the key part. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Now, when Moses went down there, amen, into Egypt, everything that he did, every plague that was given in Egypt, it wasn't because Moses came up with the idea. Oh, I hope y'all get this. It wasn't because Moses sat around and thinking this, you know what, tomorrow I think I'm going to turn that river into blood. And he's not going to listen anyway. This is not Moses thinking. He's not going to listen anyway. And so after I finish blood, you know, then I think I'm going to call for some frogs. And he's not going to believe that, so I think I'm going to do this. That was not Moses' thoughts. I want you to understand that. Those were God's thoughts. And what he had to tell Moses, said, Moses, now I'm going to send you, but I'm going to get in you, and I want you to come. Everything I tell you to tell Pharaoh, I want you to do it. I'm commanding you. I want to say something. That business idea that came out of nowhere, it wasn't yours. God did that thing. God did that thing. And there's a lot of things that are happening, amen, in your life. You don't have no idea that God is behind it. Sometimes God is positionally placing you into certain situations because he's trying to reach somebody. He need you to be there to reach him. Oh, my. So before a plague dropped, God had to give Moses the thought. So before a frog could come, God had to tell Moses to call for the frogs. Right? I mean, you know, before the lights could come, God had to tell Moses to call for the lights. Amen. Before the cattle could be destroyed, God had to tell Moses, amen, to call for the cattle to be destroyed. God had to tell Moses to do it all. He could not do anything until God showed him. The same way it was with Jesus. Couldn't do anything until God showed him. You can't do nothing until God show you. And when God shows, you're going to give him glory. God did that thing. Oh, my. Listen to this. Moses was made God to Pharaoh, and Aaron was made a prophet. He was commanded to speak all that God commanded him. Now, also, Exodus 6:3, it said that Moses had not known God, amen, as Jehovah. Had not known him as Jehovah. So when Moses called for frogs and lice and flies and locusts, that was the spoken word coming out of Moses' mouth. Hallelujah. Moses knew him as Jehovah. Moses not only called for it, but even sometimes the Egyptians, amen, their magicians would come out and they would try to call for things too. But Moses had the power not only just to call for it, he had the power to loose it, and he also had the power to bind it. So he knew Pharaoh said, now take it away from me. Only Moses could take it away. Guess what? You got that same power to bind and to loose. Oh, hallelujah. Moses knew him as Jehovah. Moses demonstrated the power to bind and loose. Now, this is the one that I want y'all to get. Just stay with me on this. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a man in Exodus 9. We're going to start reading from verse 1 there. Exodus 9. Moses was calling for these different things to come and plague Egypt. There was 10 plagues that struck Egypt. But it was God and Moses doing all that. God was doing this thing. It wasn't Moses doing it. I want to tell you another thing. Even when it comes to the prophet, and we look at different testimonies and different things that happened in his ministry, it was not Brother Branham doing it. It was God doing that thing. I was just thinking back to myself on the little boy. God gave him a vision of a little boy being healed, got hit by a car and was going to be healed. And years went by before that became a manifestation. He happened to be in Miami, Florida, preaching. And somebody said, "Is this the boy, Brother Branham?" Said, "No, that ain't the boy. The scenery ain't right. That ain't the boy. That's not the boy. We can pray for him, but that's not the boy that I saw in my vision." And there he happened to be in Finland, and there in the service, and at the end of the service, here this boy got hit by a car, and Brother Branham's walking away, and everybody told him exactly what happened, and he went up there to the situation to just overlook it, to just off a little word of prayer, and he turned and started walking away. He felt a hand touch him on the shoulder, turn around and go back. Now, that just lets you know, as a man, he had nothing to do with this. He forgot about it himself. So here the angel of the Lord have to stop him and say, "Turn around, look at that situation again." And when he looked, he started looking around at the scenery, say, "Look in your Bibles. Didn't we write this down? Didn't God tell us to write this down?" He say, "Oh, this is the scene. This is the boy that's supposed to be raised from the dead." And when he caught that, he was actually inside a vision. Oh, my God. One day you're going to catch that you are actually inside the vision. You're going to realize it's not you doing it. It's God doing it. God showed it. God did it. Amen. God get the glory for everything. Amen. Brother Branham realized, say, "Okay, let's pray." And he prayed for the boy, and God raised that boy up. But the other part that God didn't show him in the vision, that there was another boy that was going to be hit at the same time. And when that boy got hit, the mama and daddy said, "Like, that boy was prayed for and raised up. Pray for our boy that he'll get up." Brother Branham said, "God showed me that earlier, and that's why he was prayed for, but God never showed me nothing about you." He said, "Well, no, we pretty much we can't accept that. We want you to pray for our boy and raise him up like he did that boy." I can't do that. God had already God proved that he was going to do it through a vision. He said, "I'll pray and we'll see what the Lord say." And as he was praying, the angel of the Lord came to him and told him about some candy that he needed to eat. And he saw a flower. Amen. And one flower that was drooping, and then one flower stood up. He said they knew that was the boy that was here, but the other flower was still drooping. He said it kind of came up and then it went back down. And he said what the angel saw him, said, "Now the other boy is that other flower that's going back down." He said, "Now you have to eat this candy if you want that boy to be healed." Oh my. See, some things you might have to go through on behalf of somebody else. Oh, church. Things you might have to go through on behalf of somebody else. So he said, "Now you have to eat the candy." He had two pieces of candy. One piece of candy, he said, "Man, that was best candy he ever had in his life." And he ate it real quick. He said, "Now eat that other piece of candy." And when he ate the other piece of candy, he said it was some of the worst tasting candy. He said, as soon as he put it in his mouth, he wanted to spit it out. Angel said, "Nope, that other boy ain't going to live until you finish the candy." He finished the candy, and after he ate it, he saw the flower come back up. He called the mama at the hospital to say, "Thus saith the Lord, your boy gonna live." But then tell the mama he had to do something bitter. Oh, come on, y'all. You might have to do something that's very bitter to you, but it'll bring life to somebody else. Jesus went to a bitter cross, but look at the life that we all received. Exodus 9. Let's bring it home. This is the plague of the cattle. And God was always separating, you know, he started separating certain things that would hit the Egyptians but would not hit those that were living in Goshen. Yeah. Listen, then the Lord said unto Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me." Now, Pharaoh ain't got the same question, who is the Lord? He done had some experience now with God, so he know that God is real. Right now, look at this. It says, "For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel, and the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing. Y'all thought I just came up with that, didn't y'all? And the Lord did that thing. Hallelujah. Won't he do it? Right there in your Bible. And the Lord did that thing. On the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. But every time his heart got hardened, it was God actually allowing that to happen. Because God had some more things that he wanted to do. So sometimes you'll be going through some stuff and you don't know why you're going through that. It's the Lord that did that thing. It's the Lord that allowed that thing. You just go through with joy and watch him just unfold every attribute that was in him before the foundation world. He's going to express that to you. But let God do what God does. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just finish off with reading a little quote here. Amen. Amen. Y'all got time for two quotes? Yes, and I'll finish right here. This is going to be the Pergamene Church Age, paragraph 172-2. Says this: notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride. As it was in Mary, the bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass like a seed that is planted and watered. It comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Amen. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have, thus saith the Lord, and they keep still. The reason they do that is because the Lord is doing that thing, right? They know it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his works while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. That's what he did with the disciples when he went there to the gate, the gate called Beautiful. He left that situation for those disciples. God has allowed some situations in this world for us, common present day disciples. We got to take care of them. But it's not us doing it. It's God in us doing it. And we give him the glory. God did that thing. She knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do, but he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Church, we've been reading these quotes for years, but we got to take them to the streets. Amen. Yeah. Can I read one more for you? Please. The deity of Jesus Christ. Look at this. I'm encouraged by the word of God. Says, listen, the deity of him, who is he? Some of them thinks him a little baby back there. He's the one that stood on the invisible, oh my, platform, reached out his hands and spoke, said, let there be light. And there was light. That was Jesus Christ. For he was in the world and the world was made by him. The world recognized him not. He was and he's the deity of God. Look, what he did back there. Talk about the miraculous back there. You talk about shouting when he performed the miraculous things to make things which are now out of things which was not. He spoke and it was so. And that same power, that same Christ
Hallelujah. Let the fundamentalists, let them people who deny the power of God say it's wrong. But that same power that spoke the world into existence is in those people that's got the Holy Ghost. That's right. Men and women, it's time that we found out who you are. The devil's trying to hide you back, tell you that you're some little trot down something. You're not. You're sons and daughters of God. The deity is not in heaven. It's in you. The deity is not in heaven. It's in you. I love this church. Let me keep going. It says, hallelujah, I know you think I'm crazy, but let me tell you something. Brother, when you realize that Almighty God lives in you, immortal life, my life, I give Zoe, the life of God is in the human being. He stood back there. He's the creator of all things. He made life, frogs, and all these ducks. See, Moses didn't do that. That was God that did that. He made life, frogs, and all these ducks, chickens, animals, created everything. And nothing was made but was made by him. Who? Christ, the deity. He brought down plagues and everything in the days of Egypt. Who? Christ. He stopped the mouth of lions. He quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They raised the dead from the grave. Who? Christ. Oh, my. What would it be? Who is it? Christ, the deity. And brother, sister, that deity is in you. A little while in the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. Christ in the manger? No, Christ in you. Hallelujah. We're not worshiping Christ in the manger, but Christ in you, the Holy Ghost, the hope of life, the Creator, God Himself, dwelling in the human being. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we'll see Him as He is, for we'll be made like Him. No room for Him. I want to skip down to paragraph 135, amen, in the same message as we bring this as close. Christ is dwelling inside his church. It's Christ. It's the same God that we see in the Bible. Now that same God has manifested himself in people today. We need to see that it's God doing these things. I mean, you know, like I just shared with you, we thank God for how God healed Sister Burrs and healed Sister Tanya. But right there in our service, somebody walked in, wasn't even planning on being here. And a cyst was gone. Now, if God can do that for them, what can he do for the rest of us that's coming here sick every week? Come on, we ought to say, no. I ain't going to let, and I can tell you, I mean, God, you are his bride. He wants to do more for you than you even ever imagined. Look at this. You cannot be saved only by accepting Christ by the Holy Spirit. If he's in you, he's the power of God. Live by it. He's God in you. The Bible said, we thank God is upon me, O God. Jesus said, the Pharisees answered, said, you make yourself God. Said, isn't it written in your law, ye are gods? That's what Jesus answered. And he goes on to say, he made Moses a God to Pharaoh once. And he made you a God to the people. I want that to sink in. He made Moses a God to Pharaoh once. And he made you a God to the people. See, the only God they're going to see is the God that's inside of you. The only hands God got are your hands. The only feet God has are your feet. The only mouth that God has is your mouth. Church, it's time to yield to God. And allow him to get all the glory and all the honor out of these 16 elements. He made Moses a God to Pharaoh once. And he made you a God to the people. That's right. And you this morning are written epistles of God. Your lives are of God. And even carries that Holy Ghost. Look here, friends. Don't let it pass. Don't let this go by. As just a little mythical something, will you do that? I pray you receive it. If he could tell Moses, I'm making you a God to Pharaoh, made him a God to that man, made him that way. As sons of God, we've been made in his image. And there are situations all around us on a daily basis that God needs some gods to take control over. Amen. You know, when he told Moses to take those children of Israel out there on the journey and take them to the promised land, and they come up to the Red Sea, Moses got to crying. Lord, what shall I do? And say, Brother Branham say, when Moses got to crying, said God was going over to sit down
And as he was on his way to sit down, he heard Moses crying, "What shall I do?" And he said, "Moses, Moses, what you crying for? I done told you everything. Do say whatever come in your way, you just speak to it. Don't cry to me. Don't do that." He said, "You just speak, you just handle it, Moses." And let me tell you, God trying to tell some of y'all, handle it. Even as parents, when our kids get of a certain age, we look for them to be able to handle some things. Spiritually, we got to grow up because God is looking for us to handle some things. We got to be about the Father's business. When Moses got to crying and God said, "No, no, Moses, stop crying. You know, you speak." And Moses spoke something that he couldn't even think. He just said, "The Egyptians that you have seen today, you'll see them no more forever." Didn't know how that was going to happen. But he spoke it, and then he let God take care of the rest of it. And when he spoke it, God said, "Now take your rod and just stretch it out over the water." I stretched it out, water parted. Children of Israel start crossing on the dry ground. Man, they were just rejoicing, thank God. But then they start realizing, man, Pharaoh's army is coming behind us. And say, well, Pharaoh said, "Well, who?" You know, he had a question. Who is the Lord? He wanted to know, who is the Lord? When we come down there in that same little parting of the Red Sea, he found out who the Lord was. Because his army didn't make it through the Red Sea. They got drowned. Can I tell y'all something? God will drown your enemies. Amen. You won't see them again. He can drown it. Amen. But I tell you what, before he does that, he's going to challenge your faith. And you got to rise up and be who God's called you to be. Give God the praise because it's the Lord that did that thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. It's the Lord that did that thing. Whatever it is that God has brought you through, it's the Lord that did it. Amen. We can't take any glory, no glory at all for ourselves. It's God that is doing it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that comes to our heart today. We realize it's nobody but you. God, the songwriter said, when we were in trouble, you came to our rescue. When God just seemed like everything was against us, you made a way where there was no way. You opened up doors that we couldn't see. Here in our midst, we've seen healings take place. We know it's nothing but you, God. And Lord, as we go out, we face the enemy the same way Moses was anointed to speak to his enemy at that time. Lord, we'll be anointed to speak to our enemy today. We're not to take thought as to what we're going to say. We're not to take thought on that, but we know that you will anoint us at the proper time. God, you give us mouth, and the Bible said you'll give us wisdom. And Lord, as you give us these things, then we have what we need in order to overcome the enemy. So Lord, we want to just give you the praise. We realize that it's not us. It's certainly not us, God, that has done any of these things, but you have done all things and you've done it well. So Lord, we pray that this won't just be something that goes in one ear and out the other, but Lord, let us realize that there are some situations that you're calling us into, just as you called Moses into, and you want us to be God to the circumstance. Lord, not crying, not complaining, not wondering, but to be God and to speak, because it's through the spoken word that things change. This whole earth was changed because you spoke out of your mouth, "Let there be." So if we have something that we're fighting, something that we're struggling, it's your word, God, that's going to make the difference, and your word will come forth out of our mouth. We yield ourselves to you. My prayer is that you would fill every person with the Holy Ghost. And God, every fiber of our being would be filled with your spirit, that we, oh God, might manifest a living Jesus today. Lead us, guide us, direct us. You know where you would have us to go, Lord, in this hour. And it's going to be a sacrifice. We might have to die to some activities and things of that nature. But Lord, we want to please you. We want to live for you. We want to serve you, God, in everything that we do. So have your way. Lead us, guide us, direct us to where you want us to be, God, that we might be your hands, we might be your feet on this earth. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Brother Solomon, would you come? Amen. Just turn around and greet your neighbor. Say, the Lord did that thing.
Amen. As you stand to your feet, let's worship a little bit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Aren't you glad the Lord did that thing? Amen. He has so much more to do, but like Brother Jack said, he needs flesh to work through. Amen. So we have to surrender our vessels to him. There's a little song that came upon my heart. We're going to try it. Sing, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Sing, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Sing, Lord, if you're healing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Sing, Lord, if you're healing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. And Lord, if you're blessing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Oh Lord, if you're blessing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Oh Lord, whatever you're doing in, please, no. Don't do it without me. Oh Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Don't do it without me.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. If you're going to be used for him, you have to recognize who you are as sons and daughters of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me. I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What he says I am. Where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What he says I am. Where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. A walking miracle. I live a life of favor, cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I
live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I live a life of favor, 'cause I... Everybody shout, oh, oh, I know. Come on, sing, shout, oh. Everybody shout, oh. One more time, shout, oh, 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 oh. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see His glory? 'Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see His glory? 'Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see His glory? 'Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see His glory? 'Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord God Almighty, we are now sons and daughters of God. Lord, just reading that quote, Lord God, You have made us God to the people. And we must conduct ourselves like sons and daughters of God, Lord. Whatever situation arises, Lord, we must take control. Lord, You as a father, You're sitting back, Lord, seeing what Your children would do about a situation. And Father, we must handle ourselves as gods. You have made us this. We couldn't do it in ourselves. Lord, You did that thing. And Father, I'm so grateful to be called by Your name, to dwell amongst the people that's called by Your name, to believe a word, Lord God, that You have sent forth in this hour. Lord, You held this back to this final hour, that we are the sons and daughters of God. We must, Father, just move, Lord, into that season, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in all things and to hear Your voice, Lord, when You would tell us to move. Father, we thank You for Brother Jack, Lord, and for the ministering of the word. We ask Your special blessings upon him. We ask Your special blessings upon the hearers of Your word. Not only hearers, but the doers, oh God. Lord, anoint Your people, Lord God, to carry forth, Lord, Your word. We love You, Father. We praise You and thank You, Lord. And as we prepare to leave this place, Lord God, may Your presence, Lord God, just always abide within us, Lord. Move us, Lord, as You would have us move, for we surrender to You now. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seat. And the brethren will come dismiss you at this time. God bless you.